German Chancellor Angela Merkel, French President François Hollande, Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy, and Italian Premier Paolo Gentiloni wanted to outline a plan for Europe's future after Brexit. The meeting came in the run-up to celebrations on March 25th of the 60th anniversary of the Treaty of Rome, which founded the EU. Now, there's much talks of a multi-speed Europe, which has been gaining traction over the past few months in Brussels. It was also one of the five options for the bloc's future of European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker's white paper that he presented last week. Jan Sven Rittermeier, a policy analyst with the European Policy Centre in Brussels, says questions remain as to how this would work.
This logic will then replace the motto of ever closer integration for all. After having decided on this, we'll have to see what kind of differentiation will be proposed and will emerge. The link between development in new areas and the framework will be a key question that the leaders will have to tackle. We'll have to see if the intergovernmental process of differentiation will nevertheless follow European Union treaty rules.
In a sense, the European Union is already multi-speed because not all EU members are part of the Eurozone or even the Schengen area. That's what Thorsten Benner, the co-founder and director of the Global Public Policy Institute in Berlin, explains.
Let's not fool ourselves. We're already having a multi-speed Europe. You have a Schengen zone of passport-free travel. Not all are members. You have the Eurozone of a common currency. Not all EU members are part of that. So we already have a variable geometry, if you will, and with the preferences of different EU member state governments in terms of closer integration in one area, not so close integration in another area, differing so much. I think going forward in that direction is the only way to kind of keep the European Union afloat.
But concretely, countries wanting to move ahead on issues such as economic growth, border protection and defence could form smaller groupings, leaving reticent members behind. Jan Sven Rittermeier.
We are already witnessing some progress. We have seen it for the euro, we have seen it for Schengen, and for defence, it's clear that defence is For the moment, by far the favored area to move forward. And we have seen last year some progress already made thanks to Franco-German impetus on defense. I think already the creation of a joint military headquarters would be an important step.
A concrete plan is expected at the Rome summit at the end of this month. While Italy, Belgium, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, as well as France and Germany have all signed on the idea, Eastern members remain reticent. That's particularly true of the Visegrad group, comprised of Hungary, Poland, the Czech Republic and Slovakia. Thorsten Benner.
A pity, actually, that the Polish government is not part of this Versailles meeting, but is not playing a very constructive role. I do think that the Visegrad member states would, in general, be open to a multi-speed Europe, provided that they're not left out on areas that they care about. Already you have a lot of imbalances within the European Union. Of course, there's always risk, but let's face it, the European Union is in the biggest crisis ever since its founding. So we need a flexible way forward.
With elections looming ahead in the Netherlands, France and Germany, and possible wins for populist parties, it makes it all the more urgent for the EU to move quickly on this. The bloc, however, has a reputation for moving at a snail's pace.